Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Ayin Aleph, and we are 12 lines from the top of daf Ayin Amid Beis. Zokti Gemara, Himesu Bisa. There was a woman that sold wine in a store. The Machra La Iklida La Uvedes Kechavim. And she gave the key to her store to a woman that wasn't Jewish. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Elazar, Uvda Haba Beis Medrash. There was a similar story that happened that was presented in Beis Medrash. Va'amru, and in Beis Medrash, they paskin lo masrula ela shmiras mafteach bovat. You don't have to be concerned that being that this non-Jewish woman has the key to the store, maybe she went to the store, she touched wine, she was menasech yayin l'avodah zarah, because although the owner of the store gave this non-Jewish woman the key, all she gave her was the key. She told her, I want you to watch the key, but it doesn't necessarily mean that she had the rights to enter the store. Meaning, if she would enter the store, she'd be doing something wrong, she'd be mirsis, and that's the theme of the last few dafin, that with this mirsis, we're not concerned that the guy touched the wine, we're certainly not concerned that the guy was menasech yayin, la'avoid the zor. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, afanan amitanino, that the truth is that I can prove this psak halacha, that uvda hava be medrasha from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Tyrus. Mishnah over there is discussing the halachis of chulin. So we know that chulin does not have to be eaten b'tahira, stating that the chaverim took it upon themselves to only eat chulin b'tahira. The amayorets were not careful to eat chulin b'tahira, but the chaverim were. Says the Mishnah, v'isim avteichas l'amayorets, if somebody gives the keys to his storage house, where he has tfuah that's chulin to an amayorets, tahiroisav tahiroes, his tahiroes are deemed to be tar. Meaning, you don't have to be concerned that being that the amayorets had the key to the storage house, maybe he actually entered the storage house, touched the chulin, he's tameh. As a result, all the chulin's going to be tameh. So if someone's nizer to only eat chulin b'tahir, he shouldn't be able to eat the chulin. Says the Mishnah in Masechtes Tyrus, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, you don't have to worry about it. Why not? The amayorets has the key to the storage house. He has the key to the pantry. So why aren't you worried that he's going to go, he's going to touch the chulin? Says the Mishnah, Lefi Shalai Masa, L'Shmiras Mafteach Bavad. Because all he gave him was Shmiras Mafteach. So Abaya said, this is an exact parallel to this Shaila that the Amayram were discussing. There was a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, Uvda Havi Bei Medrasha, says Abaya, Afananami Tanino. I have a Mufurish Mishnah. Now the truth is, the Mishnah is discussing chulin, the halacha that chaverim are careful to eat chulin b'tahira, and the discussion in our Gemara was with regards to yayin esach. But Abaya said, "V'aloi dvarim kal v'chaymeru hanshta madoch tahiroisav tahirois yayin esach mibaya madoch." The Mishnah issued this leniency with regards to the halachas of chulin b'tahira. Certainly, this leniency, this kula would apply with regards to the halacha of yayin esach. Says the Gemara, "Really? Lememer the tahiros alimim yayin esach? Are you Abaya suggesting that tahiros, a chaver that's careful to only eat chulin b'tahira, this idea is more chamur than yayin esach? I mean, you'd think that's counterintuitive, but the Gemara says, and I'll prove it to you, the itmar, chatzah shechulka b'masipas, there was a yid and an amma oretz, meaning a chaver and an amma oretz, that lived together in the same cul-de-sac, and they shared a chatzah. The chatzah was a common area. And what they did was, they took a mesipas, a mechitza of some sorts, and they put it in between the chavers, chelik of the chatzar, and the amoritz is chelik in the chatzar. Amar Rav. So Rav said, tahirois of tmeis. If the chaver is going to have his tahirois sitting outside in his chatzar, that becheskas tameh. And someone that's nizer to only eat chulim b'tahirah shouldn't eat those tahirois. Why not? Because you're concerned that the amoritz, who's your next door neighbor, who lives on the other side of this very thin mechitza, may have gone to the other side, to the dark side. He may have touched the tyrus, and as a result, now it's going to be tummy. Uba'ivik kechavim said Rab. If, however, you'd have a parallel case with regards to a yid living side by side with a guy, and the yid has his wine out in his chatzar, he doesn't have to have that same concern that maybe the guy would go over to the other side and touch the yid. Rab Yechon, it says, no, after Reisav, tahiris. Just like you don't have to be concerned about the guy, thus the yayin is not yayin esach, so too you don't have to worry about the amaretz, and it's for that reason the chulin is going to still be considered chulin b'tahir. But what do you see in Shitas Rab? You see in Shitas Rav, says the Gemara, that Chulin b'tahayra on some level is more chomer than Yayin Nesek, because Chulin b'tahayra is an issue if the chomer is living side by side with the Nam Ha'aretz. He has to be concerned that Nam Ha'aretz may have touched the Chulin. Thus, taharois of temeyos. However, as it relates to Yayin Nesek, which is negeya if a yid is living side by side with a goy, ein noyos a Yayin Nesek. So you do have to be concerned for Chulin b'tahayra, you don't have to be concerned for Yayin Nesek. So Abaye said, madach, you see in the Mishnah of Tyrus, this svara of le'masalei el shmiris mafteach bavad with regards to Chulin b'tahayra, certainly you're going to say the svara with regards to Yayin Nesek. Really? Is it a kal v'chomer? Is it true that Chulin b'tahayra is more chomer than Yayin Nesek? Counterintuitive. The Gemara says it. How do I know that? From Rav Shita. But the bottom line is what we have over here is machloikis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Machloikis with regards to a chotzer shechilka b'mesipas, a yid, a chaver, a choshev yid, is living side by side with an Am Oretz. He had his tahayros out in his chotzer. Does he have to be worried that the Am Oretz may have touched the chulin or not? As it relates to living side by side with a goy Yayin Nesek, you definitely don't have to worry about it. But chulin b'tahayra is more chomer, so do you have to be concerned? Do you not have to be concerned? Rav said you do have to be concerned. Rabbi Yochanan said you don't have to be concerned. So the Gemara is going to digress. We're going to ask a kasha on Rav, a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to clarify this machloikas a little bit. It says the Gemara, Meisvei apri mishal chaver v'chisayin shel am oretz. What happens if a chaver and am oretz lived side by side? But rather than shearing a chotzer that was just divided with a mesipos, the way the two chatzeros were adjacent to each other is that one was inside of the other. Meaning, in order to get from the chaver who lived in the chatzer hapnimis, his chatzer, to the rishus harabim, he would have to go through the chatzer hachitzayna. So you need to take out your Erevin maps in order to properly understand this. But the point is, there was a chatzer hapnimis that was closer to the Rishus HaYachid, it was more inside. The Chatzer HaChitzayinu was the Chatzer that was adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim. To get from the Pnimis to Rishus HaRabim, you'd have to go Derech the Chitzayinu. So the Chavar lives in the Chatzer HaPnimis, Dama Oretz lives in the Chatzer HaChitzayinu, says the price, Oysa Chavar Sheteach Shom Peris, the Chavar can have his Peris out. He has nothing to worry about. Umaniach Shom Kalim. The Afalpi says the price, Shiyodi Shalom Oretz Magas L'Shom, and even if Dama Oretz could touch it, it's not a problem. It would be a problem if it was in the reverse. What would be if the Chavar lived in the Chatzer HaChitzayinu, the Am Ha'aretz lived in the Chatzer HaPnimis? So in order for the Am Ha'aretz to get from his Chatzer HaPnimis, he would have to go derech the Chatzer HaChitzayinu. So then already you can't just leave your stuff out, because the Am Ha'aretz has Rishus to walk through the Chavar's Chatzer. He has no other way of getting to the Rishus HaRav. So then already his stuff would be problematic. But if the Chavar lives in the Chatzer HaPnimis, what's the Am Ha'aretz doing in the Chatzer HaPnimis? And says the Brice, even though technically it's within arm's length distance, he still, you don't have to worry about it. Isn't that Rabbi Yechon and Shita? Rabbi Yechon was the one that said, if a Chavar and Am Ha'aretz live side by side, no worries. Rav said, no, worries. You have to worry about it. So l'chur, you have a Mefurish HaBraisa that's like Rabbi Yechon. You don't have to worry about it if the Chavar is the one that lives in the Chatzar HaPnei. It's only if he's in the Chatzar HaChitzayinu where Am Ha'aretz has Rishus to walk by. But side by side, you see, is not an issue. There's a difference between two chatzeros, or that are one within of the other, and one chatzer that's divided with a mechitza. At the end of the day, if this Am Ha'aretz was caught sticking his hand into the chaver's chatzer, so if it's two different chatzeros, why in the world is your hand in my chatzer? So that's going to be an issue. He's nitfas olav kiganef. If it's one chatzer, there happens to be a mechitza dividing the two sides of the chatzer, so then if he's caught, it's not going to be considered so bad. There's no nitfasal of Kigana, thus there's no mirsis. If there's no mirsis, it's over there that Rav says, I'm worried. And a chanami. Rav is making a distinction between one chatzu that's divided with a masipis and two chatzeroi zulef nemizu. Zok the Gemara Toshma. I'm going to ask you a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So the first kasha of the Gemara was on Rav, the second kasha is on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the one that said, after Reis of Tyrus, he never worried that the Ma'aretz is going to stick his hand onto the chaver's side of the chatzer. The Gemara is that true. Shimon Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel said, Gagashal chaver the Ma'ilam, Gagashal Ma'aretz. If the chaver and the Ma'aretz live side by side, and they had roofs on top of their houses, and one roof was higher than the other. So the chaver's roof was a higher roof than the Am Ha'aretz. Now today, most people don't go on their roofs. But once upon a time, the roof was like a chatzer. If you remember, this is Erevin 101. So the roofs, gagli chatzerei v'karfifei, those were common areas, places where people used to do work. So the roof was a very important part of the house in terms of where things used to get done. That's why you have to have a magal gagecha. But the point is that the roof is very important. So over here you have the gagal of the Chover, which is side by side with the Gag of the Amoretz. However, they're not on equal playing fields. The Chover's Gag is Lamaila Migag of Shalom Aretz. So the Halach is the Chover's allowed to let his Peiros out to dry on top of his Gag. Umaniach Shem Kalim, he could leave his Kalim there. Ubilvad, however, with the caveat, actually, Teyod Shalom Aretz, Magas Hashem. You have to make sure it's not within arm's length distance for the Amoretz. I mean, if the Amoretz is going to be able to reach onto the Gag of the Chover, you're going to have a problem. Why? Because maybe he's going to stick his hand there, he's going to touch the tires, he's going to have all the issues. What's the kasha? Kasha le Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, Tarois of Tahirois, where it's one chatzar and it's divided by a masipa side by side? Rabbi Yochanan said, even there you're not concerned. So Kal v'chayim over here, where it's two chatzeros or two gagois, zuva maila mizu. So if you're concerned over here, you certainly should be concerned in the case of Rabbi Yochanan. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, shani hasam, islay lishtamute, me marama emtsuri kamamsar. Rabbi Yochanan holds that, like the svara of Mirsis, that any time there's any alibi in the world that a person could have for why he did what he did, that's when you say there's no svara of Mirsis. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that a person will have no good excuse for being caught on the wrong side of the mechitza touching Tyrus. So if you do that, it's something you weren't supposed to do. You're Mirsis, it's not something that we're worried about. But this is actually a unique case. Because over here, being that one Gag was higher than the other Gag, so what are you worried about? You're worried that you're going to catch Tam Aretz touching the Tyrus that was on top of him. He could always say, you know, I wasn't really touching, I was stretching. I have very long arms, and my arms somehow touched it. As a result, if it's within arm's length distance, being that there is a Sfar that he could always say, there is some Ishtamute. Thus, there's no mirsis. Therefore, there's a concern. That's why the halach is. Because if it's yod magas l'sham, there's a svar that even Rabbi Yochanan would agree is a good svar. Tashma, one final kasha gagu shalchav b'tzad gagu shalam aretz. If the two gagim were not zulam ayla mazul, but they were equal, they were literally side by side. Oisei chaver sheteach sham peiros umaniach sham kelim. Then you're allowed to leave peiros there. You can keep kelim there. V'afapish yod shalam aretz magas l'sham. That's a mefurish etzush d'aluchura to the machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. And what's the psak halach over here in this brisa? Oisei chaver shoyteach sham peiros umeiniach sham kelim. V'af al pi sheyodei shalom haaretz lagas l'sham. That's shitas Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, kasha l'Rav. This is a mefurish kasha on Rav. There's no way out. This is not two chatzeros. This is not zu lemaila mizu. This is side by side. So what's the difference if it's one chatzer that's divided by a mesipas, or it's two gagin that are literally adjacent to each other? It's l'chura the same thing. Amalech Rav. So Rav's going to say la'vika Rav Shimon Gamliel dekoy kavasi. I know the amrik Rav Shimon Gamliel. Meaning Rav's going to say I acknowledge that l'chura this halacha right here, this brisa, this tosefta is not like me. But at the same time, we just brought a moment ago Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if the two gagim was zu lemaila mizu, so then the halacha was it was a problem. Now, Poshet, the Gemara is saying that could be there's a chilek between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's case, zu lemaila mizu, and this case of zu litzadzu. And that is essentially what Rav Yechanan is going to say. Zu litzadzu is okay. Why is it okay? Because there's a mirsis. Zu lemaila mizu, it's not okay. There's no mirsis, because you have the svara of ishtamute. You could always say that he was stretching. Says Rav, I appreciate the fact that that's the way Rabbi Yochanan learned this sugya. But I respectfully disagree. I don't think that there's any chilek between zu litzadzu and zu lemaila mizu. If that's the case, you have on the one hand Rav Shimon Gamliel's halacha, zu lemaila mizu is a problem, and you have halacha zu betzadzu is not a problem. So Rav, you know what I think the teretz is? It must be a machlekes. It must be a machlekes. One is Rav Shimon Gamliel, the other one is the chacham. Vanod Amik, Rav Shimon Gamliel. I hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So essentially, in Rav Shimon Gamliel's halacha, that zu lemaila mizu, there's a problem. Rav said, that's where I saw my halacha. I'm not buying Rabbi Yochanan's svara, that being that it's higher, he's stretching. That's not the svara. I hold Rabbi Shimon Gamliel must hold that it's always aser. If it's always aser, that's the basis to my shita. Now you have a shita sechachamim where gagish al chaver bitzad gagish al amaretz. Meaning the chilik is not one is lemaila, one is bitzad. The way Rabbi Yochanan's going to learn, but rather the chilik is one's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, one's the chachamim, another amri ki Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. In other words, what's the chilik between those two chalakim and the brayso? According to Rabbi Yochanan, one's lemaila, you have a svar of ishtamute. One is ubitzad, so you don't have a svar of ishtamute. Rav held there's no chilik in svar. Must be it's a machlekes. It's a machlekes, and now we can stop picking and choosing. So Rav says, I hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Either way, Sakhti the Gemara, more on the topic of Yayin Nesach, bullshus, shenichnes oleir. So what's bullshus? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly. Chayol. These are troops that enter a city, b'shashalim, if they come b'shashalim, meaning during peaceful times, chaviyos psuches asuros, and any chaviyos psuches, any barrels of Jewish wine, kosher wine that's found to be open is going to be also stumais. Any barrels of wine that was found to be sealed, mutares are going to be mutar. Shas mochama. If, however, they came to shas mochama, ilu veilu mutares, everything is going to be mutar. Lefisha ein pnai lenasech. Because there's no time. They're not thinking about being menasech yain. They're thinking about doing what they need to do. They're thinking about staying alive, killing as many people as they could possibly kill. They have an executive order. They have to fight on behalf of their country. So that's what they're thinking about. They're not thinking about being menasech yayin l'avodazar. So again, troops storm through a city. And the next thing you know, after the storm passes, you find open barrels of wine. So what's the halacha? Do you have to worry that maybe these wines were menusach l'avodazar? The Gemara says it depends. If it was a shas shalom, then you have to worry about it. Because shas shalom, people are calm. So maybe the guy thought to be menasech yayin l'avodazar. But b'shas mochama, ein lehem p'nai l'nasech. Vei t'gemar v'mini, I'll ask you a kasha. Yirshakav shua karkum. A city that was surrounded by, again, military. Kol kahanis shabatei chapsulis. All the kahanis, all the women that were married to kahanim, all the eshes kahanis, are all considered pasul. Because we know that an eshes kahan, that's mizana, even ba'oinis, is also l'bayla. Ordinarily, an Eishes Ish, that's mizana ba'oinis, is muta l'bayla. It's only b'rotzen that she's also l'bayla. But that's only an Eishes Yisrael. An Eishes Kayin, even if she's mizana, ba'oinis, dalach is, she becomes also l'bayla. So what happens is, when the troops surround the city, all the wives of the Kayhanim are considered to be also l'bayla. And the reason is, because we assume that these soldiers, they violated these women, albeit ba'oinis, but now they're going to be awesome. What's the kasha? I thought you just said that b'shas mulchama ein lehem p'nai l'nasech. So why aren't you concerned that they were menasech chayin l'avodazara, and you are concerned that they were mezana? Amra mori, l'nasech ein p'nai, livo yesh p'nai. The same svar that we had in yesterday's daf. Yeah, they're not thinking about being menasech chayin l'avodazara, but they are thinking about arayis. That's the whole parsha of ishes yifas tayar. But either way, zok the mishnah vayta umnichal Yisrael, sheshalach lohem, oivet kechavim. See, here you have a Jew working for a non-Jew, and the Jew is supposed to get paid, and the non-Jew, for compensation, sent him chavish al yayines. Instead of giving you cash, geld, I'm going to give you instead chavish al yayinesech. So the halacha is bischaron, right? Mutter loy maloy. So the chavish al yayinesech bischar. So mutter loy maloy. The Yid is allowed to tell the guy, tein lanu es domel. Instead of giving me yayinesech, which I can't drink, and I can't even have enough from, so it really doesn't work for me, so I'd rather you give me money. So that's okay. If, however, the Yid already took possession of the Yayin Nesach, at that point, also, he can't swap it out anymore. So until he gets it, he could say, I don't want it. I want something that I could actually enjoy, I could actually benefit from. Once he gets it, it's considered that he already was compensated for the work that he did. Now it's his. Now you want to swap it out? It's as if you're swapping your Yayin Nesach or you're selling your Yayin Nesach. That's already something you're not allowed to do because you're benefiting from the Yayin Nesach. So if you didn't take possession of it yet, then you can do whatever you want. But once you take possession of it, it's going to be too late. I'm Ravina Marab Muto. A Yid is allowed to tell a guy, go pay my taxes. Sounds like a nice idea. But anyway, he says, go tell him, try this at home, go pay, take care of the melech for me. And meaning, the chiddush is, he doesn't have to be worried that maybe the way the guy is going to be mefayis the melech is by giving him yayin esach. Because what happens if he gives him yayin esach? So it's also about, no, it's going to come out that the Yid had enough from yayin esach. The reason it's okay is he never told him give yayin esach. He said, just pay. If the guy decides to give yayin esach, so zayin, he gave him yayin esach. But the Gemara says, is that right? A person's not allowed to tell a guy, oh, tachas, lo'itzri, go in my place, tachtai, lo'itzer, go pay my taxes for me. The reason is because we're concerned that he's going to give yayin. Amalei Rav, so Rav said, ol tachtoi lo'itzer ka'amrit, you're asking a kasha from that halacha, which says mefurish, that if a Yid tells a guy, go tachtai lo'itzer, it's not okay. Ho'leidami eladaha, that b'raisa has a seif, that's the reisha of the b'raisa. There's a second half of that Braisa, where the Braisa says, Aval oimaloi malteni min ha'oitzer. That malteni min ha'oitzer is okay. Meaning, you see, it's Even that brisa that seems to suggest there may be an issue, but acknowledges that there's subtle differences in the language that's used by the yid that could determine whether it's okay and it's not okay. And my halacha rav of mutter lo adam loymer loyve kechav and seva hafeis alay manas hamelech is not doymer to the reisha; it's doymer to the seifa. So what's the chil between the reisha and the seifa? It's machlik is Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos says a very simple pshat. The chilik is, did he say the word tachtoy? Tachtoy sounds like I want you to be my shliach. I want you, when you give it, it should be as if I gave it. So then already you have to be worried. You can't tell a guy, be my shliach and pay the melech. Because what if he gives the Yayin Nesach? So it's as if the Yid gave the Yayin Nesach. If he didn't use that word, tachtoy, malteini min ha'oitzer, he didn't say, be my shliach. You do what you do, and then I'll make you whole on my end. But it's not that when the guy is paying, he's paying on behalf of the Yid, that would render it as if the Yid is paying. When the guy is paying, the guy is paying. The Yid later is going to make him whole. So if he says tachtoy, that's where it's a problem. If he didn't say tachtoy, it's not going to be a problem. That's the chilah between the reish and the sefer. And that's what Rav said. Rav said, I'm saying you can say it's seva hafes olay manas hamelech. If you don't use the word tachtoy, it's in that case that it's going to be okay. Zok, the Mishnah weiter, and this next Mishnah, and really daf, is a pretty lumdish daf. We're going to do what we do. And it really, it's very befitting, you know, towards the end of Seder Nezikin, it's a very, very Nezikin digadach, but we're not going to go into the lump. It's up the Mishnah. If somebody sells wine to a guy, so a yid is selling wine to a guy. What's the problem? Why do we even have to have a Mishnah? Why is this a Sifkat in Shulchan Aruch? The reason Sifkat in Shulchan Aruch is because a yid is not allowed to benefit from Yayin Esach. Think for a second. When the yid sells his wine to the guy, as soon as the guy takes the wine becomes Yayin Esach. I mean, as soon as he touches it, the wine becomes Yayin Esach. The problem is, the Yid has to therefore make sure, when he's selling his wine to the guy, that the guy doesn't touch it before the sale is consummated. Because if the guy is going to touch the wine before the sale is consummated, it's going to come out that he sold Yayin Esach. I think Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Is the Yid allowed to give a Yisrael mummer wine to drink? Maybe you can't give him wine to drink, because the minute the Yisrael Mumer touches the wine, according to those poiskim, it becomes Yayin Esach. It comes out, you gave him Yayin Esach. You were over the fnehiver, leisik the mikshal. So it could be you're not allowed to give a Yisrael Mumer a glass of wine to drink, because he's not going to make a bracha. So those shilas we know already. But here there's another shilas, it's a Yayin Esach problem, because the moment he touches it, it could be it's going to be Yayin Esach. So how you ever let it sell wine to a guy? The minute the guy touches the wine, it's Yayin Esach. You're not going to sell Yayin Esach. So you have to be careful. You have to follow the Shulchan Aruch. You need a good Jewish attorney. He has to make sure that everything is worded properly. You follow the steps at this closing to make sure that you don't run into an issue of Yayin Esach. So the Mishnah helps us out here a little bit. If the Meicher and the Lekeach, the Yid is the Meicher, the Goy is the Lekeach, if they agreed on a price before the Goy touched the wine, meaning then double guitar, everything is going to be okay. Modad actually pasak. If, however, the guy measured the wine before they agreed on a price, dama vasurim, at that point, the money is going to be aser. Now, Rashi, the way he explains the Gemara, actually, the Gemara is going to explain the Mishnah, so let's start the Gemara. Omer Ameimah. Zok da Meimah. Probably not going to get to it today, but Omer Ameimah. Meshicha b'ayve keichavim, koina. A guy is koina the Meshicha. Meaning, we know Machlikas Rabbi Yechon, Rish Lakish, and Perik Azov. Dvar Torah, Mois Koinis, that shit is Rabbi Yechonon. Rish Lakish holds that it's not true. Mois is not Koinis, Midai Raisa. But everybody agrees that Midirabonon Alkoponim, Mitaltalin, Dvar Mshaila Machrayas, are Niknis only be Meshicha. Meaning, Alkoponim, not Bekesef. You can be Koinis be Meshicha, you can be Koinis be Akba, you can be Koinis with Chatzi, you can be Koinis with Kenyanaga. There's different ways you can be Koinis Mitaltalin. But you can't be koina ken metaltalin bekesef. Midai raisa, that's machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. But midrabon or not. The question is, what about a goy? How is a goy koina? So Amemar said, very important Gemara, Meshicha bai vikechavim koina. You want to know how a goy is koina metaltalin? The same way Yid is koina metaltalin. A Yid is koina be Meshicha, a goy is also koina be Meshicha. By the way, Yid is koina be Agba, a goy is also koina be Agba. A Yid is koina be Chatzir, a goy is also koina be Chatzir. The same way Yid is koina metaltalin, a goy is koina metaltalin. Zok Gemara, hey, then I'll prove it to you. Dahani parsoi, meshadu pardashin v'adodi. Because the Persians, they send each other gifts. And I've never heard that any of them should back out on their gift. Why don't they back out on their gift? Must be because as soon as they give the gift, the one that took it did Meshicha on it. Once he did Meshicha on it, he did Meshicha Metaltan. He can't back out anymore. At that point, it's already too late. So you see from here, said the Gemara, Amemar, that Meshicha by Ivikachavim Koina, just like Meshicha's Koina by Yisrael. But Rav Ashi said, I can tell you that Meshicha really is not Koina by a guy. But you want to know why these Persians don't back out when they give gifts? Because most people don't back out when they give gifts. The Rav is Ruchel, the Nikitalu. Where it says it's like a gaiva that they have, but the point is, they don't back out. That's not a right. That's not a good one. The point is, we have a machloikis, a meimar, and ravash. A meimar says, just like a yid is koine metaltal, aydei mishicha, hagba, chatzar, agav, etc. A koine is koine metaltal in the same exact way. Mishicha, ba'ivik, kechavim, koine. Ravashi, yomar, no. Lo'oilo, meim, locha, mishicha, ba'ivik, kechavim, ainoi koine. I disagree. I hold that mishicha is not koine by a guy. It's not koine by a guy. How then is a guy koine metaltal? So, zok rashi, based on the Gemara, kesef. He's koina with kesef. Meaning, a yid is not koina with kesef. Midrabanan for sure not. Right? Shlokish holds even midday rice is not koina with kesef. But the bottom line in Shulchan Aruch is, a yid is not koina with talpon with kesef. He's koina with mashicha, hagbah, chatzar, agav, etc. That's how a yid is koina with talpon. What about a goy? So Amemar says, a goy Shulchan Aruch of how he's koina with talpon is identical to the yid Shulchan Aruch of how he's koina with talpon. Whereas Ravashi argues, and Ravashi said, a yid is kind of metalton ayde meshicha hagba, whereas a guy is kind of not ayde meshicha hagba, but rather ayde kesef. Zok the Gemara Rav Ashi, but not mina law. I need a makar to say this that a guy is kind of metalton ayde kesef. Me the amalu Rav lahanu sabdusa, because Rav used to tell the people that sell wine. Ki kailisu chamelavi kechavim. When you sell wine to a guy, shakli zuzi minayu. First take money from them. Vahada kailin luhu, and afterwards give them the wine. Let's say they don't have any money. Lend them money. And then take the money from them that you loaned to them. Now, how are you benefiting? The reason you're benefiting is because now they bought the yayin. They're going to owe you money because they borrowed the money to pay you to be able to buy the yayin, but that money that they borrowed is going to be a halva, kechtav halva gavayu, and that's not going to be an issue. Rav said, you better do that. You better make sure when you sell wine to a guy that the guy has money, that he's able to give you money. Because if he's not going to have money, as soon as you give him the wine, he's going to touch the wine, he's going to drink the wine. At that point, it's going to be already yayin nesach. If you're going to give him 30 days terms, and he's going to pay you in a month from now, at that point, it's already yayin. Now, if you're going to tell me that the way a guy is koine has been meshicha, not with kesef, what's the issue? As soon as the guy did meshicha on the keli, he already was koine. He did meshicha on the, he didn't touch the wine when he did meshicha. He did meshicha on the keli, right? That's a big mistake people make. People think that if a goita, for example, takes your bottle of wine that's not mavushal and moves it from one part of the counter to the other part of the counter, that constitutes negiah. It's not true. It's not negiah. She didn't touch the wine. She has to touch the wine, or maybe be meshachshich the wine, or pour the wine. That's where all the problems come. You're concerned that maybe she poured the wine and drank from it. Then you have nitzot. That's when you run into all your issues. But the point is that just touching it, that's not yayin esach. So lechur, what's the issue over here? What's the problem? Because the guy touched the wine. He didn't touch the wine yet. He just did meshicha. And as soon as he did meshicha, at that point he was kainet. Once he's coined it, if he touches it, it's already his cheshbon. He punked owes your money. Okay, that's not a problem. Shouldn't be an issue for him to pay you. Elamai, what do you see from here? You see from here that Rav must have held that Mashiach is not coined by a guy. Being that Mashiach is not coined by a guy, only Kesef is coined by a guy. So it comes out the guy was not coined until he pays for it. So if the guy is going to take it, he could do Mashiach of an ein bismargen. Lamaisa, he wasn't koinet yet. If he wasn't koinet, then he touches it, it's, or drinks from it. It's yayin esach. Once it's yayin esach, he can't give you money because you can't consummate a kinyan with something that's yayin esach. Because it comes out you're selling yayin esach. You're not allowed to sell yayin esach. That's the Gemara's kasha. Zok the Gemara. Either called kail v'rami l'mani di Yisrael hachinami. But the Gemara says not muchach. Meaning, Rav Ashi thought to bring a raya from this psak of Rav, where Rav used to tell the meichre yayin that was selling wine to a guy, make sure they pay you. Because if they don't pay you, the kinyan is not going to be chal. At least that's the way Rav Ashi understood it. And if the kinyan is not going to be chal, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that the guy is going to drink from the wine that he bought. He's going to render the wine yayin nesach. And as soon as it's yayin nesach, he can't pay you anymore because he can't be koinet. So if
the kinyan happened right away, it wouldn't have been a problem. But L'chura Rav was of the opinion the kinyan didn't happen right away. Must be that Meshicha is not kinyan. But the Gemara says, I don't think it's Muchach. The Gemara says, it could be, if the Yid that was selling the wine to the guy was pouring it into his own barrels, then it could be there would have been no issue. Why? Because it could be Meshicha's really kaina. And being that Meshicha's kaina, he doesn't have to have the money right now. As soon as the guy does Meshicha, he's kaina it, everything is okay. But what happened over here was, he was pouring it into the barrel of the guy. Being that he was pouring it into the barrel of the guy, there may have been a little yayin nesach on the bottom of the barrel. If there was a little bit of yayin nesach on the bottom of the barrel, as soon as the yid's wine touched the wine that's on the bottom of the barrel, it memela became Yayin Nesach. And being that it memela became Yayin Nesach, at that second, that's what he was worried about. So he wanted first they should pay for it. If they pay for it before they even take the wine, that's how you're going to avoid this issue. But the Gemara says, Soif, Soif, Kimata Lavir, the Mana, Kanya Yayin. I still don't understand the issue, says the Gemara. Because the Gemara is saying, why did he have to have money? Because you're worried that, forget the Meshicha, before the Meshicha, the wine is going to touch the wine on the bottom of the barrel, it's going to make a Yayin Nesach, so now the guy can't even do Meshicha. But I have an Eitzah, let the guy pick up the barrel, let him hold it. Now the Yid should pour it into the barrel, let the guy be koina with Hagbah, not with Meshicha. Meaning if Meshicha is koina, then Hagbah would also be koina. The Shail is, does a guy get metaltlin the same way Yid gets metaltlin, or is it a separate Shulchan Aruch? So the Chura, let the guy be holding the barrel, let the Yid pour it into the barrel while he's holding it. At that point, he'll be koinit as soon as it enters the Ave, the ear space of the barrel. Ayin Yayin Nesach Loi Ave, it doesn't turn into Yayin Nesach Adamati Larisa until it touches the ground. Elamai, it must be that there was no Eitz at all, because you need Kinyan Kesef. Hashicha's not koinah, nothing is koinah. But the Gemara says, really there's an Eitz ahead to get out of that. Shema mino nitzok chibur, meaning maybe that should only be a problem if there's an issue of nitzok. But if there's no problem of nitzok, then that's not a good suggestion. But Al Kaponim says the Gemara, let's prove from here that nitzok is a chibur. The Gemara says, meaning if the guy was holding the barrel, then Enochanami, he'd be able to be koinet ba'agbah. Like Tzricha the Manach Ha'ara, we're talking about where he wasn't holding it. Being that he wasn't holding it, Sagbah wasn't an Eitzah. Maybe these were too big, these barrels, to even hold. Maybe it's not darken ba'agbah. I don't know. But the point is, he wasn't holding it. Being that he wasn't holding it, Sagbah itself wasn't an Eitzah. The only Eitzah that you would have had would have been Meshicha. And the Gemara is saying that Meshicha itself is not an Eitzah. Why not? Because it becomes Yayin Nesach before the Meshicha. How does it become Yayin Nesach before the Meshicha? Because you have a little bit of Yayin Nesach on the bottom of the barrel. So as soon as the Yid's wine mixes with the guy's wine, at that point it's already Yayin Nesach. Thus, Rav held that make sure you give Kesef, because Meshicha over here, you can't rely on the Meshicha because you're going to have Yayin Nesach before you actually did the Meshicha. But the Gemara says, V'tikni le Kalev, I still have an Eitz. So why do you have to give Kesef? Why can't the guy be koinet with his Kalim? Meaning, al chotzer, let the Kali be his chotzer. Shami no could be proof from me. Kalev shal lekeach, b'shus moichel lekona lekeach. That Kalev shal lekeach works only b'shus lekeach or in a common area. Could we prove from here that Kalev shal lekeach, even though you find the sugyas above the Basra and other places, that it is considered a chotzer, but maybe not b'shus meicher. The Gemara says, really, it could work. You know what the issue over here was? It was a completely different issue. This is what Rav was worried about. The reason Rav wanted the guy to pay for it so that he should be koinet before the yid even pours it is not because he was worried that the Mashiach is like, there were ways to get around all this. But he had a different concern. Going to Ika Akfas Yayin Apumi the Kuznusa. He was worried that there was a little bit of wine on the top of the Chavis. On the rim of the Chavis, he was worried that there was a little bit of wine. And the Kama Insechle, he was afraid that the wine that the Yid was pouring was going to mix with that wine, the wine that's on the top of the rim. And that's already going to be an issue. And that's going to disqualify all the wine. The Gemara says, Ukaman, if that's what Rav was worried about, it's the like Rav Shem Gamliel. It's obviously not like Rav Shem Gamliel. Dear Rav Shem Gamliel, because if it's like Rav Shem Gamliel, this Rav Shem Gamliel was in one of the last daffin here in the Masechta, where there's a machloikis where Yayin Nesach was nisarev together with kosher wine. So the halacha is, it's a problem. Everything is a problem. The question is, do you have to get rid of everything? Rav Shem Gamliel holds you don't have to get rid of everything. Meaning, what you need to do is you just have to get rid of the amount of Yayin Nesach that you have. So if it's $1,000 worth of wine and $100 of the wine is Yayin Nesach, you have to get rid of You could sell it for $900. It just can't be neder from the Dmei Yayin Esek. So Rav is worried about the little bit of Tipas Yayin that's on the rim. It's being Nesarev with the Yid's wine. That's what's causing all these issues. What's the big deal? Okay, how much wine is that? It's nothing. It's a few prutas of wine. So for that, Rav needed to give them a Hayra. Nobody would have a problem of saying, take $2, put in the Pushka. Or, Yoyulichem the Yamamelech. You can't put in the Pushka, but just get rid of it. So why didn't Rav just say that? Must be didn't hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why? Because Rav Shimon Gamliel would have told you that that's not an issue. Meaning it's an issue, but it's not a material issue. But the Gemara says it's true. We're going according to Rav. Rav is the one who issued this Hayra. And Rav said, Halacha ki Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Being that Rav was the one that said, Halacha ki Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rav l'shitas, they held it was an issue. And I mean, if you didn't hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, then this is not such an issue. But this is all Rav l'shitas, who holds that the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So if the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's for that reason we have an issue excel. So again, we're stopping here in the middle of the Gemara. It's not an easy Gemara. It's a rather intense Gemara that has implications both in the sugyas of Yayin Nesach and in the sugyas of Chayshe Mishpat, of Darkei HaKinyan. But if you want one clear takeaway from the latter part, the more difficult part of today's daf, that is a machlekes amemer and ravashi, a machlekes amayra. We know that a yid that wants to be koyne metaltolin cannot be koyne metaltolin al yidei kesef. Meaning the meicher does meshicha on the kesef, there's no kinyan chal. Ma'is are not koynes. Midirabon, midday rice, Rabbi Yechon holds it is koina. But midirabon, for sure it's not koina. Halacha lemaisev, you call a rav, hi, I bought something, I gave mice, now I want to back out, you can back out. But the point is that there's a mishapara, but you can back out midday rice. Because midday rice, ma'ois is not koina. What about when a goy is koina metalton? That's machloikis. A name says, mashicha ba'iv kechavim koina. Ravashi yom alo oilam, eim alocha mashicha ba'iv kechavim, eina koina exel. So just to end on a light note. So yesterday we were talking about the Yetzahara of Arayas, and it came out because of Rav's Psak, Rav on the bottom of Samach Tesam, and Beis onto the top of Daf Ayin Amad Aleph, said, Zoyna Ovedes Kechavim, if there was a Zoyna Ovedes Kechavim, Yisrael Mesuban Etzla, and she was together with Yidin, so Yidin, they hired a Zoyna, and they're eating together, and there's wine on the table. So the question is, do you have to be concerned that maybe the Zoyna Ovedes Kechavim touched the wine? As a result, the wine now is going to be Yayin Asach. Do you not have to be concerned? Meaning, usually a yid knows to tell the guy not to touch the wine. But over here, these yidin are about to be nichshol in arayos. So clearly, they're not upkehitin a yidin. So if they're not upkehitin a yidin, maybe we have to be concerned that they allowed the Zoyna to be menasach yayin lavoy the Zohar. They had no problem drinking yayin esach. They have no problem with arayas. So based on that, maybe the wine should be awesome. But Rav is paskin not that way. Rav said, Cham Rishari, it's mutter, because nehi de tokaflu yitzra davero. Yitzra the Yayin Esach le'takaflu. It's true, they can't overcome the Yitzhara of arayas. But doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to be able to overcome the Yitzhara of avoy the Zohar, the Yitzhara of Yayin Esach. We had the same exact idea this morning. We discussed the bullshit, shenichnas ol'ir, the troops that entered the city, and you found afterwards chaviyos psuchos, it was b'shas mulchama, all the chaviyos amuter. Why? Because they don't have time. They can think about nisuch right now. They're thinking about staying alive. They're thinking about war. Fake the Gemara, really, is that true? You have a similar halacha to sugya mesechtes ksubis, daf chav zayin amar alef, a gishmak in sugya, where the Gemara over there talks about ir, shekav shua karkum, the halacha is all the kaihanois, all the wives of the kaihanim are psulois, because we're concerned that maybe somebody violated them. Aye, it's b'shas mulchama. They can't think about arayas. The Gemara, no, it's not true. L'nasechein p'nai. They can't think about being menasech yayin lavei dezor, but they could think about be ilo. So we spoke out that you see from here, this theme, which is an intuitive theme, and that is the Yetzahara of Arayas is more takuf than other Yetzrei Hara, and it impacts halacha. Just two Gemaras right here tucked away at the end of Masechtas Avodah Zarah, one with regards to Yayin Esach, the other one with regards to Yayin Esach, and the comparison and the contrast between that and the halachas of Eishes Koyin Shezintza Bishas Mochama. Bottom line is that the makar to this, of course, is two Gemaras. The Gemara and then the Masechtas Makis, where the Gemara says Gezel V'Arayas Nafshin Shaladam Mechamdasan U'Misavasan, and the Gemara in the end of Masechtas Bava Basra, where the Gemara says Ruben Megezel Miyutam Be'Arayas V'Kulam Bavak Loshen Har. We spoke at the Shoinus of the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Yisurei Bia Perichav Beis, where the Rambam talks about that there isn't a Dover Kosha that the Tzibur needs to observe rather than Arayas. And he says it's the hardest, the most difficult parish in the Torah to observe. And then the Rambam in the same breath says, stating that, Rubam begazel umyutam ba'arayas. Freik the prisha, freik the chidah, birke yosef, manavshach. Is it the hardest thing in the world, or is it something that's only miyutan? Zogin the gidoyli ha'chachroinim, yeah, v'loy kasha. It's the hardest thing in the world, maybe, to observe, but at the same time, it's only miyutim that are nichshol. How's that possible? So we spoke out yesterday. We shtal tzu the archaim hakadosh and parashas achrimos, where the Torah prefaces the parasha of Arayas with Vayidaber Hashem. Hashem says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem," and then you have the whole parasha. K'maisa Eretz Mitzrayim, u'k'maisa Eretz Kanan. Why the sakdom affects the archaim? We know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Elokeichem. That's why we have to keep Torah and mitzvahs. Why was it important to remind us of that hanocha, that hakdom, right in the beginning of the parasha of Arayas? Says the archaim, because otherwise you're going to be wondering how could the Torah impose something so cruel and unusual on every single, every Yiddish shaykh to keeping Arayas? The answer is that al piderach hateva, maybe not. But at the same time, the Yidden have a secret. The secret is Dabro b'nei Yisrov v'yamarta aleim ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then we digress. We spoke out a classic Nesha Chochma that says that in the Mokam HaMikdash and on Shabbos and Yontif, those are times and those are places where you have to be even more careful. And the reason is because you offer Torah v'derech Eretz, she'igiyah shnei mishkach ha'sovin. So Shabbos and Yontif, where we don't have Torah v'derech Eretz, that's where the Rambam says there used to be Maimit Shoiftim. The Baal Turim says that's the Smichot, the end of Parashas Re'ei, Shalosh Pam Mashani Yerokos, Chorchas b'nei Hashem Elokeichem, to the beginning of Parashas Shoiftim. Shoiftim v'shoiftim titul l'chok. Because on Yontif you need Shoiftim. There was a Varat Snius that was patrolling on Yontif. Why? Because Yontif, people let their guard down a little bit. They relax. You don't have the Yegias Shneim Mishkach HaSovin. It says Ramei Simcha L'chur, the same was probably true in the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't have the Yegias Shneim there either. You had Kayanim Avidasam, but you didn't have the Yofen Torim Derech Eretz. He says that's the Al Toch Chalos Bitchol Aznoisav Lo Sisna Oretz Umol Oretz Zima. And what's the next Pasuk? Eshab Soisai Teshmoiru Umikdashai Tiro Ani Hashem. And then we spoke at a Chinuch. The Chinuch in Tovku Final by the mitzvah of Eslan Zoyna. He says, you know why the Eslan Zoyna is a problem? Because the Kohen has to be so careful to have reina machshavos while he brings a carbon. So says the Chinuch that if a Kohen is going to be marked with an Eslan, he may think about the origin, the history of this animal, trace it back to the Zoyna. He's going to have a machshavos nus. Says the Chinuch, it's a machshavos pigul to tiposel avidosa. It's going to pasel his avoid, dvar in the floor. And that's the tivka we're worried about. So we said, you're worried about a Kohen having a machshava zora in the Beis HaMikdash? A Kohen? Yeah. That's this Ramea Simcha. Umol Oret Zima, Eshab Soizai Tishmoiru, Umikdashai Tiro. You have to be more careful in the Beis HaMikdash when it comes to this idea of Umol Oret Zima. That's all rain that we spoke about yesterday. But Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush. And that is, there's a tshuva from the Minchas Aluza. It's a fascinating tshuva. This whole tshuva is fascinating. Hafeichba v'hafeichba dekulava. If you want to look it up inside, it's in Chela Gimel, Simin Chafei. And at the end of the tshuva, he's discussing, is the Minchas Aluza, what was modern technology in his time, and discussing it in Yenalach. Specifically, is somebody allowed to listen to a, I guess it was a record player or something of, what was before the record player? A record, right? That's what it is. The phonograph. Amchuna phonograph. Haniskar. Sheminagenes nigunim mikol nashim. And there are women that are singing. And the question is there a problem with koalisha? Is there not a problem with koalisha? And then the Minchas Aluza digresses. And he brings a dover nifla b'shem Darizal. Says Darizal said that when a person back in the day would come to the Beis HaMikdash and he would bring a carbon. So the Kayin would look at the person that was bringing the carbon. He would look at his shteren. Anyone that ever went to Chassidish Yeshiva knows what that means. He would look in his shteren, and he would know exactly where the Baal Aveira was poigen when he did the Aveira, so that he'll be able to have the proper kavana when he brings the carbon. So when the Kohen brought the carbon, he was able to be mechaven properly, b'shas he brought the carbon, by looking at the forehead of the Baal HaKarbon. By doing that, he'd know exactly where he was pointing. Now he's able to go ahead and have the proper carbon. Said that Ariza, what happened if a woman would bring a carbon? So the Kohen wouldn't look the woman in the face. Rather, what the Kohen would do is they would go to the kir. The kir we know was made of maris atzoivos. It was made of mirrors. And the woman would stand behind the Kohen. The Kohen will look in the mirror. Through the mirror, he would see the reflection of the woman, and that's how he was able to see. But to look directly at the Kohen, at the woman, says that Rizal, that's something that wasn't done. Says the Minchas Aluza, why not? Why couldn't the Kohen look at the woman? So Pasha, you're going to say, because you're not allowed to. You can't just be mistakel and anisha. But he says, to be mistakel and anisha is really related to hirhurim and machshavis that you're going to have. And I quote, L'chura lo yitachin loymar, de b'makam ha-kodesh, in a makom hakodesh, where someone's coming now to be mesakin his nefesh, heich noimash sham yishleit hayetzahara b'makom hakodesh ashrois hashchina yizbarach shemay. There's no way in the world that you have to be worried about that. V'oid nachash lekilkul v'hirhu the kohen. You worried about the hair of a kohen? You worried about the kohen having some achshav zar because he's looking at the woman? Can't happen. You're in the makom hakodesh. You're in the makom of ashrois hashchina. Says the Minchas Aluzah, it's not possible that something like that is going to happen. I think the Minchas Aluzah, don't we know that by Simchas Beis Sheva they made mechitzas v'chulim v'chulim? He says that's not because they were really worried about it. It can't be. In a makom hakodesh, in a makom ashrois hashchina, there's no problems in us. There's no chazah. So why then could the kohen not look at the woman? He says because look at what's going to look like. This woman comes, she brings a carbon, and now all of a sudden the kohen's looking at it wouldn't pass. And the Amei Ha'aretz wouldn't understand exactly what's going on over here. So it's for that reason they said it can't go this way. But it's not really related to a real Chashash Arayis, because there is no real Chashash Arayis. Why not? Because we're in a Mokam HaKodesh. And in a Mokam HaKodesh, there's no Hashreis HaShchini Yisparach Shemai Heich Noimar Shasham Yishleit HaYetzahara. It's Mamish Fakert. It's mamish fakert from what we're talking about over here. We said over from Mei Simcha, Umolar Edzima, Eshav Soisei Teshmoir, it was Muntashay Tiro, you have to be even more careful. Here you see just the opposite. But on the topic of the Yitzhara of Arayos, just two Ha'aris. Number one, women, Nashim. Do Nashim have the same Yetzirah that Arayos in Halacha, that is? So from a Halachic standpoint, so the truth is, we've spoken this out in the past many times, the Divrei Yoel, in a tshuva, if you want to look it up inside, it's in Chelek Aleph, Aruchayim, Simen Yud. It's a tshuva, Arucha Ad Limoi. He brings rayas that even though a man is not allowed to look at a woman because of hear her, but a woman doesn't have that same problem. A woman can look at a man, there's no problem, there's no issues of hear. And his raya, or one of his big rayas, is from Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan used to sit at the doorstep of the mikvah, when women would go tovel, they would look at Rabbi Yochanan. He was an Adam Gadol, he was also very handsome, Shufa the Rabbi Yochanan, and it would give them machshavos tahiras, and their children would come out good because they saw Rabbi Yochanan before they went to the mikvah. But the bottom line is, how were they able to look at Rabbi Yochanan? I mean, the reverse would never work. A man wouldn't be able to look at a woman on his way into Bis Medrash. So how is a woman allowed to look at a man on her way into the mikvah? Said the Satmar Rav, there's no issa. You see from me that there's no issa. The reason he wrote this in a tshuva is because this tshuva, Simen Yud, is the tshuva where he responded to Rav Moshe Feinstein's famous tshuva with regards to mechitzas. So Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva about mechitzas that Ki Yadua, the Satmar Rav, had a major issue with. And in that tshuva, where the Satmar Rav describes the perfect mechitza from a halacha standpoint, says the Satmar Rav that if you think about it for a minute, my mechitza protects the men. But at the same time, the women can see into the men's side. So l'chura, how's it protecting the women? So Satmar Rav said, we're not so worried about the women. Women more worried about the men. Now it's interesting, what was the yusoid of the machloikis between Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rav? What was the machloikis? Everyone knows that, right, this machloikis was marish shalomos. What was the yisoid of the machlokes? Rav Moshe held that the tachlis of a mechitza is to prevent mingling. You have to make sure that men and women cannot mingle together. So as long as the mechitza protected against mingling, that was already considered a kosher mechitza. The Satmar Rav held that wasn't enough. A mechitza also has to prevent histaklus. You have to make sure that there's no histaklus. So if you have to make sure there's no histaklus, just because, you know, they're on different levels, let's say, and you have a mechitza of X amount of tvachim, but if you can see from one to the other, it's still going to be a problem. And that's what the Satmar Rav amar. So I'm preventing histaklus from the men to the women. What about from the women to the men? So he brought a raya from that Gemara, Rav Yechon, he had other rayas as well, that there is no problem with histaklus. Shalom Melech. But the point is that that the yesod of the machlokes was that Rav Moshe held the purpose of a mechitza is mingling. The Satmar Rav held the purpose of the mechitza is to prevent histaklus. It's interesting that the Satmar Rav, in the course of his tshuva, he says that what's the makar to mechitza in Shas? It's the Gemara Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara says that they were masakin tikkun gadol. What was the tikkun gadol by the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva? The tikkun gadol was they made a mechitza. Incidentally, I once saw Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Yochar. So who was Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Yochar? He was one of the Rishayim, but he wasn't just one of the Rishayim. He was Rashi's Rebbe. Whenever Rashi brings Moiri Hazake, it's referring to his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Yochar. Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Yochar teaches that we're going to say now in Sholosh Regalim, Vaharenu Bivinyanai, Vesamchenu Besikunai. So he says, what's Vesamchenu Besikunai? So he relates it to that Mishnah, the Masech Tesukah, where the Mishnah says that they were Masakin a Tikkun Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. Vaharenu Bivinyanai, Vesamchenu Besikunai. It's a reference to that Tikkun Gadol. That's the Mechitza that happened by the Simchas Beis HaSheva. And by the way, that sugi is ground zero for the Machloikas Nira Moish and the Satmarav. There's a Tosfos Yontif there. There's a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos there. That one, some of Mashma this way, some of Mashma that way. Okay, way beyond my pay grade. But the point is that the Satmarav, in the course of his discussion, he's right, in his tshuva, he says, I don't understand. He says, Rav Moshe held that the tikkun gadol that they made by the Simchas Beis HaSheva was they did things to prevent mingling. He says, you have a havamina that there was mingling going on? That there was mingling going on in the Beis HaMikdash before that? L'chura, mered noch yontif. And yontif chazal say, chayovim bezden lahamik shaitrim berugolim. Sheyu mesavavin umechapsim beginoisu bepardesev ala nahoris kadeh shalei yiskabtsu lechav lishle shama noshem venoshem vodeh aveira. There were anyways shaitrim v'shaitrim over there. So if there was shaitrim v'shaitrim, taina de sat merov, there was anyways no meaning. The fact that sneus was out full force then. So l'chura, if there's anyways shaitrim v'shaitrim, so what are you worried about mingling for? So if the sat merov, mingling was never the problem. They didn't need to take gadol for that by the simchas beis hashem. It's yontif. Every yontif, they were able to prevent that issue. What then is the problem? The problem was histaklus. That's a whole other story. And that was the tikkun gadol that they made. So he said to Sabra, you see that the whole tachas of the mechitza was for histaklus. Because I'm the mingling shabbat, not. And the emes is, lo'or hadvarim, that we're speaking out with the Meshach Chachma, Rabbi Yislimcha. There's a chi of shoiftim v'shoitrim on yontif, because sak for the shasa rigla. And there's a chi of shoiftim v'shoitrim beis hamikdash l'chura, because of as umikdash aytiro ani Hashem. These are the two places where you have to be extra careful. As shabsoi say tishmoiru, that's mikdash aytiro. But the bottom line is that was Samarov's taina. They anyways had the shayftim v'shayftim. If they anyways had the shayftim v'shayftim, must be the whole purpose of the mechitza was as it relates to the histaklus. That's the first aura. The second aura of ein beis medrash b'lei chiddush, and we'll end with this, is chasam sofer in a tshuva. So the chasam sofer in a tshuva, he's discussing the halacha of pitui ktana oynis. What's pitui ktana oynis? Pitui ktana oynis is if someone is mezana with a ktana, even if the ktana did it berotzen, it's deemed to have happened by oynis. So for example, if she's an eishes ish, and she's married to a Yisrael, she's married to the Dairais, her father was Makadasher, and now she went ahead, she was mezana berotzen. So the halacha is that although ordinarily an eishes ish, that's mezana berotzen, becomes also labayla, but if it's by oynis, unless she's an eishes koyin, like we had in today's daf with the bullshit, unless she's an eishes koyin, over there the halacha is that she's going to be mutter. Pitui ktanis is always considered oynis. So pitui ktanis is always oynis, even if she did it berotzen, it's considered to have happened by oynis. So the shoyl asked the Chasam Sofer discusses pitui ktanis oynis in a few tshuvas, Eger discusses in a tshuva. This is festa rate. But one excerpt of this that's really tucked away, that's not so negay the lomdisha aspect of the sugya pitui ktanis oynis, but it's relevant to Shmuz right here. And that is the shoyl asked the Chasam Sofer. He said, I want to ask you a question. We know that a katan is not a bar oinshin. Usually you think of a katan not being a bar oinshin as meaning that even though he did an aveira, but like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Heyam, it bays Rachmanu hu dechasala. We have Rachmanu son, we don't punish him for what it is he did. Meaning, it's not the pshat that we don't assume that he knows what he did. He probably did know what he did. But at the same time, a katan's not a bar oinshin. He doesn't get punished. Despite the fact that he knows what he did, it doesn't matter. He's pardoned on some level. He doesn't get punished. Pitui ktana oynis sounds like a different concept. It sounds like what we're saying over here is that a katan is always an oynis. Katan can't really have das. See, the shayel was mutching with the Chasam Sofer. Which one is it? He said, do we look at every katan, every ktana as not having das, so that any avera that he or she does was done by oynis? Or no, the avera was done by rotzen. Narvas, there's a halacha that a katan and a ktana is not a bar oynshin. So the shayel tainted to the Chasam Sofer that I was thinking that maybe there's a chiluk between arayos and sharaveiros. A katan doesn't have fully developed das. As a result, he can have das, hapu'uto is mekha mekha, umem kara memkar, as long as it's das acheris makti, keep him kreni, but they write like Tosis says, Rajas, meaning ktanim are considered to have das in halacha. But at the same time, they're ktanim, they're not fully developed. So as it relates to a regular avera, the Yetzahara for Nisuch Hayayin, like we had in our sugyas. So over there, yeah, Katan maybe is able to overcome. So why is a Katan not get punished if a Katan's Menasuch Hayayin? Because the Katan's not a Bar Oynshin. But maybe Arayas is different. Maybe Arayas, being that the
Nafshin shalodam b'chamdasan v'savasan. The yetzor of arayus is so strong. So maybe over there a katan who's not a fully developed person over there is going to be an oinus. Al rishonim anu mitzdan like Darachaim says, how are gdolim able to overcome the yetzor of arayus? You expect a katan without fully mature das, without a yetzor toiv, you expect him to be able to overcome his yetzor? So enochanami, ordinarily a katan is not viewed as an oinus. He's viewed as someone that's not fully developed. Aba oinus nish. Why doesn't he get punished? Not as oinus rachman apatre. But when it comes to arayus, pitui ktano oinus. You know why oinus? Because how's this katan, how's this ktano supposed to overcome the yetzor? So the yisoid of pitui ktano oinus is not that every time a katan does something he or she is doing a oinus. It's an oistruk in hilchas arayus. Because nafshin shalodim v'chamdasim v'savasim. Because miyut b'arayus. Because of the Rambam's Torah in the end of Berach HaBeis Luchas Yisroel Biyah. Because what the Rechaim HaKadosh says in his Akdom in Parsha Zachar Moitz to the Parsha of Arayus. Maybe that's the yisoid of pitui ktano oinus. Half of a fellow. But Chassam Sofer l'maisa told, Chassam Sofer told the shayla, I'm not masking. I hold just the opposite. Ach, milvad shekol zehu doichi gadol, gam ki adarabo, epochano. I think it's just the opposite. The ktano l'inyan arayus, bevadoi ein lochem. And he brought a raya from a Gemara, condition that pay off. Bottom line is, in the sugis of Yichud, that the Chassam Sofer is just the opposite. That children, their das isn't fully developed. As a result, it's very hard for them to overcome the Yetzara. But it's only things that they have a real taiva for. But things that they don't have a taiva for, that not. Arayus is something that children don't really have the same level of taiva for. It's as the person matures, as he reaches the level of Nairus and Bagros and Shteisairus, v'chule, v'chule, that's the time when the Yetzara of Arayus starts really kicking in. So says the Chassam Sofer, if you want to go down this road and start thinking of perhaps a chilek between the Yetzirah of Arayus and the Yetzirah of Shar Averus as it relates to Katan and Ktana, it's true. As it relates to a Gadol, those are the Gemaras we learned. Samech Tesam and Beis, Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, where you find that the Yetzirah of Arayus was considered to be more chomer than the Yetzirah of Shar Averus. Why do we lay in the Parsh of Arayus in Yom Kippur by Mincha? Says the Taz and Simit Tof Reish Chav Beis and Hilchus Yema Giburim. He says because it's the most difficult taiva for a person to overcome, and it's something that we need to remind ourselves of how important it is. Dafka right before Ne'ilah, Mincha, Yom Kippur, that's when you remind yourself about the Parsha of Arayus. That's why you're reading it right then and there. It's because it's so chomer. But that's all true for a Gadol, someone that's fully matured. He's fully developed. As it relates to a Katan and a Ktana, it's just the opposite. Over there, Halacha would have to dictate punk fakert, and the Chassam Sofer says, halacha, and Hilchas Yichud, then maybe we'll speak out some other time.